Good evening. There now appears a real chance that the expected $12 billion deficit for this fiscal year's federal budget will not go that deep. Much depends on what supplemental spending the new Congress grants between January and July. But hopes are rising that the business upturn will reduce the deficit. By how much will be known generally when the December 15 income tax returns are in, and rather specifically when the January returns show the rate of comeback in business profits. But it's still clear that the total deficit will be high, and still clear that the number one personal project of President Eisenhower in his last 2 years will be to get government spending in hand. The president is an orthodox conservative thinker on economics. His advisors are more sophisticated, but are themselves fundamentally orthodox, old-fashioned in the view of some modern school economists. They remain deeply worried about inflation, though the commodity price index has been showing stability for several months. In the long haul, however, the inflationary engine is pretty certain to go on pumping. The mail received at the Treasury has changed in its emphasis. Last summer, it was dominated by letters from business executives suggesting ways to prime the pump to stimulate business. Right now, it is dominated by the simpler appeals of individuals who live on pensions, fixed salaries, and insurance, who plead for a stop to inflation. And these letters have a haunting effect on the minds of officials here. The dominating administration activity will be efforts at reducing government's contribution to inflation by paring here and there, as with the attempt just announced to go over the foreign aid programs with a fine-tooth comb. What one does not find here, however, is any high-level exercise in looking at our economic practices through radically new spectacles. No one is really looking at the tax structure, for example, in terms of its morality. The basic philosophy of our tax system is the encouragement of capital formation, not of individual sweat and skill. Only money really makes keeping money under this system. A tax system that permits, for example, a very rich man to educate his children or to possess works of art virtually for nothing through trust and deed arrangements, contains the germs of a sense of social injustice, the avoidance of which is a prime responsibility of leadership in any democracy. Nor is serious thought given to the argument that inflation is a permanent condition in this century, that a truly stable dollar is an illusion, that our pension, insurance, and bond practices are based on the abnormal deflationary period of the 19th century. To the argument that the fixed incomes of smaller people might be unfixed, determined by the cost of living index, as is done in certain labor union contracts, increasing inflation, no doubt, but making its effects universal. Little attention is paid to a corollary argument that another way of alleviating the severe injustices of inflation might be to steadily replace wages and salaries as such with payments in the form of stock ownership. This is Eric Severide in Washington,